It is a great privilege for me to be here with you. Daddy is the one who has trained my wife. And I can assure you, she's a virtuous wife. So for me to come and speak here in the church of such a great man, I'm just a little boy. I'm very new in the faith, as I shared in the Bible study. I'm only five.
And that is times 10.
Times 10. Praise God.
Amen.
But because I'm born again, I believe that God brought me here with you for a purpose.
Amen.
And that purpose for me is always to come to you with some good news. And we all know the good news, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But there are always some parts of that good news that we might not yet understand. And the Bible tells us, my people perish for their lack. But this church shall not perish.
No way. Amen.
This church shall stand.
Amen.
This church shall grow.
Amen.
But more than stand and grow, this church shall impact the nation.
Amen.
Now I already see people thinking of how can we impact the nation. Look at us, we are few. It took only Jesus and 12.
Amen.
To change the world. To bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth. So, are you ready for some good news?
Yes.
Let us first pray. Father Lord, we thank you. We thank you for being here with us today. I know you are here because you have promised me wherever I will go, you will go with me. Father, we thank you for you are a promise-keeping God. You are a covenant-keeping God. You are the all-sufficient God. And above God, you are a Father. Lord, we thank you for being our Father.
Amen.
Father, today, as I will speak, Lord, let the words from my mouth come straight from your heart.
Amen.
And let the hearts of your children be prepared to receive that word. But more than receiving it, help them by your Holy Spirit to understand the word that you will give them in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, let no life be untouched today. Let no life be unchanged today. And let no one go home the same as they came today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen.
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 Praise God. God is taking me to some different, to a few things. But I believe he's going to combine it all. How much time do I have?
1 hour.
I never get 1 hour. But I always think
about
it. Praise God. Because the good news, we can never stop talking about
it.
That's right.
And I'm happy that Daddy, I call him Daddy because he's a father to my wife, so he's a father to
me. My friend Daddy is reset.
I'm glad that he mentioned those things about those who have made mistakes.
Ah, yeah, me dese o kasafa nipa bi a o ma ayam fo so se ya no de nhia.
Because as you all can see, if you just look at my appearance, I made mistakes about it. It's very easy to see. I made so many mistakes that on January 18, 2013, I decided to take my own life. I was determined to jump out of the window on the fifth floor of an apartment. But that night, Jesus indeed stepped in. And not only did he save my soul, he gave me a brand new life.
Amen.
He turned me into a brand new creation. And that is what I want to look into today. I'm going to read quite some scriptures and then work from there. Praise God. I will start in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and from verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Now, do you all know who these people are? Who's the wise? Those were the Pharisees and the scribes. Those were the ones who were considered the wise. Who is the disputer of this age? That's Satan. He would always bring God's children before the throne and say, this one was wrong. This one committed sin. Amen?
Amen.
But there's the cross. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe.
Amen.
Now, to save those who believe. I promise you, the day that Jesus stepped into that room with me, I literally, this is my personal experience of salvation. I had made up my mind to die. My whole life was a complete mess. And I was in the living room on my knees. I said, God, if this is what it means to be a Christian. Because I already got baptized.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not born again. I had no understanding. So I was a Christian by knowledge, and I said, if this is what it means to be a Christian, I don't want this life anymore. I had made up my mind, if I feel the same way tomorrow morning, I will just open that window and jump. That night, some things happened. Jesus stepped into the room. And that's where I surrendered. And it was as if he put a whole new, brand new white robe around me. And he picked me up. And he said, now you have surrendered. Before you never surrendered.
Mm-hmm.
Now you are mine. And I'm going to build your life now.
Amen.
What you see today is a result of that night.
Amen.
Amen.
So I continue in the scriptures.
1
Corinthians 1:22. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. How can such thing be real? But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom
of God.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
What is foolish to God does away with all the wisdom that man can ever have. Daddy said this morning, we need to start seeing ourselves as empty.
And the only one
that can fill us is Christ.
Amen.
The only one that can make us wise.
Amen.
I continue. For you see your calling, brethren. Now look at this. That not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble ones
are called.
I thank God I was a fool. Today, I thank God I was a fool. I thank God I was weak. So weak that I would have given up my life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that weakness where Christ reveals himself strong. It's in that foolishness that Christ reveals himself wise. You don't need to be anyone in this world when Jesus is in you. You are everyone. When Jesus is in you, you are everyone. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should ever glory in his presence.
Amen.
I don't know if you really understand what all this means. Many times, we Christians want to show ourselves as righteous. We are in church every Sunday so that all can see. Look, I'm a good church goer. I'm a good Christian. Let me tell you something. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a lifestyle.
Amen.
A lifestyle is a life that you live every single day. And the people outside will tell you, you're foolish. Just keep your church things with you. These are not church things. This is my relationship with the living God. I am the church. I am part of the body. I can be used to put the mighty things to shame. Now, which are the mighty things that you know? Let's say a doctor. The doctor has quite some might and power. Can look at a person and say, you know what? You have 10 more weeks to live.
Yeah.
Experience it in my family, my mom. I just got to the mission in Slovakia, my first ministry. I was there for 2 weeks. And they called me, your mom has to have surgery, she has cancer. Far advanced stage, we never knew anything. The doctor said, few weeks if she doesn't get surgery immediately. If she gets surgery, a few more months. When I got that phone call, I was like, there was no fear in me.
Amen.
I said, God, that's a lie. You did not bring me into the ministry
so that my mother would die.
So now you know that my mom is dying. I reject it.
Amen.
We are now 4.5 years further. My the doctor was put to shame.
Yes.
Because of the faith of a little boy. And now I want to take us to the next stage of the message. So you understand now that God can use the despised, the foolish things, the stupid things, the ridiculous things to put the world to shame.
Yes.
So if you think of yourself small, then this is what I know. God sees you as extremely big.
I'm big.
Gideon says, I'm the least of the smallest tribe.
How
can I go to battle with all these nations? God said, go and leave all that people. Just go, 300 of you. God uses the foolish things to take the wisdom of the wise. Faith is foolishness to a wise man.
That's right.
Because a wise man wants to explain things. Faith can never be explained. Because faith is the thing spoken for. But not yet seen. And you believe in them as if they are already there.
Wow.
So this faith in Christ. This faith in Christ puts a whole lot on our plate. Now we enter into that new covenant. I'm glad your pastor prepared you well with the old covenant. And it's extremely important. It's extremely important to understand the old covenant. Because if you don't understand that one, you will never be able to understand the necessity.
He has said,
But more than that, the glory in the new covenant.
Praise
Lord. Now I want to deposit something in your heart.
Amen.
Then we go to another section in Corinthians. But first, I want you to take this to your heart. Wait. I'm going to ask you a question. Who desires in their life to be a servant of God?
And the pastor and Guana.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to challenge you.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
1 John 3 and verse 1 and part 8 from verse 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, we are children of God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Before I go to Corinthians, I want to show you something else. So, the Father loves us so much that we are to be called children, sons and daughters of the Most High. Our Father in heaven calls us children. You know, when I learned the most of the Father's love, my wife can testify. When my whole understanding of my Father's love towards me started to have a whole new dimension, is when that boy came.
Because
I love that boy. And I came to realize the way I look at my boy. That's the way my Father looks.
Amen. Bon summer, right?
When he's afraid, I will make sure he has nothing to fear. When he's hungry, I will make sure he has food. When he has been hurt, I will do everything I can to take the pain away. When he's sad, we will do everything in our possible to cheer him up. When he's angry, we will teach him that there is nothing worse to be angry for. That's how my Father looks at me.
Amen.
That's how my Father deals with me. Through him, I was able to become son. Before that, I was a servant. There's something with this. Let's first go to the story. Luke 15. It's marvelous. Luke 15. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's one of my mentors who deposited this one in. It's a huge revelation. Everybody knows the story of the prodigal son. Everybody has read that before. I would not believe you if you said no. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's the parable of the lost son. I started reading from verse
11.
Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Now, prodigal living, that's the way I used to live. If you have questions with that, drinking, drugs, drug dealing, women, everything I've done. My life was a mess. But God. But when he spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. So he was deep rich. He started out as the son of a very rich man. Took all that he could gather, wasted everything.
Yeah, a second.
Okay. Yeah, can I continue?
No, a second. Okay. Continue.
Okay. Wasted everything. Then lowered himself to go and feed swine because there was famine.
Mm-hmm.
So that he could eat the food of the swine.
What a pity.
But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? All of a sudden he remembered where he came from. Today I pray that you will remember.
Amen.
Where you come from.
Amen.
Because you're not from this world. You're just passing through. Amen.
Amen.
And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pots that the swine ate, and no one gave him any. But when he came to himself, okay, that's, verse 18. He said, I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. He decided to go before his father and confess his sins. And he was ready to repent. But now there's something very interesting. He says, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But make me like one of your hired servants. I asked the question with purpose. Do you want to be a servant of God? Now we are continuing. So he said, make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. A father
has
always
have compassion.
Have compassion.
Amen.
Give it on the son. And had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, so there are sons and servants.
Amen.
But we are so loved by God that we are to be called children.
Amen.
Now let's continue. And So he says, bring out the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again.
Amen.
He was lost and he is found, and they began to be merry. Now, now it gets tricky. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fat calf.
Amen.
But he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have
is yours.
Is yours.
Amen.
It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. Now, what is the clue of this story? This is the story of millions of Christians. They say, I've been served, yet I'm sorry. I've been serving. I never did anything wrong. I am righteous. Yet for one that just becomes born again, you do all those things. What was the issue? The older brother saw himself as a servant. He never knew himself as a son.
Wait, and he tells me about it and said, or no one saw or your aqua. Well, no one saw your bow. Well, no one saw your bada. He said,
the younger son asked for his part of his inheritance and went to waste it all.
And the baba called the old son, and that's a thing in our friend Papa or Quayan or Quasel.
And still, the father, when he returns, gives him the best. The older son saw himself as a servant of his father. He never asked his father anything. He never saw himself as a son. Today I pray that you will start to understand that you have a father and you are a son.
Amen, I'm a son.
Because a Christian that doesn't know the father will never be successful as a Christian
walker.
Many Christians want to have fathers in their life to nurture them. But no father can nurture you if you don't become their child. So I pray,
amen,
that from today on, you are no longer servants of God. You are children of the living God. And a child goes to their father and says, my daddy, I really want this. And if it is in his will, and two of you agree, he will surely give it to you.
Amen.
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 We must become sons and daughters. The whole creation is waiting eagerly for for the manifestation of the sons and daughters. Now, another implication with this is a servant can never access the legacy or the inheritance
of his son,
of the father. Only a son can grab the inheritance.
Yeah.
That is why the Bible, I strongly believe that that is why the Bible says, many have called on me, many have prophesied in my name, they healed the sick, but he said, get away from me, I never
knew you.
They never became children. Because a child submits. A child takes correction. A child loves unconditionally. A child comes to the father with their needs. But a child also honors their father when it's time to celebrate them. Today we celebrate our daddy for another year. That is what we have to do as children. We must honor our fathers and our mothers. Praise God. I'm going to the conclusion.
Amen.
Now I want us to go to 2 Corinthians. I'm not preaching very much. I'm just letting the word of God come alive in you.
Amen.
My words cannot do anything with you. But his word will turn you into something completely different.
Amen.
2 Corinthians, and I start in chapter 3. Do we begin again to command ourselves, or do we need... let me ask you a question before I start this. This is extremely important for you to understand again. Who is Jesus Christ? That's what Peter answered. You are the Son of God. Jesus Christ was the Son. Yes, he's also our Savior, our healer. But the revelation that Peter got when he was mentioned as this is what I will build my church on is not Peter, is that revelation. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now let's look at the second group. We are now talking about the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Do we begin again to command ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. You are the epistles that the people outside will read. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. We are going to those manifestations of the sons and daughters. And we have such trust, through Christ, toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything being as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God.
Yeah.
who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but
of the spirit.
For the letter kills,
but
the spirit gives life. What was the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant? After the blood was shed, when Christ died, what was the difference? What was the difference? Before, what did they have to do? They had to circumcise themselves. And they had to sacrifice animals. But when Christ died, something else happened. He even said to his apostles, I have to go now, so that I can send you my help.
Yeah.
So this new covenant has no longer got anything to do with what is written on tablets. Living in the new covenant is a change of heart. How? Through His Spirit.
Hallelujah. Are the emfa in so? Yemfa in so.
Hallelujah. The always put my feet upon the rock. I will not shake.
It was not placed properly, yeah.
For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Now, what was happening with Moses? Why did Moses put a veil over his face? Who knows?
His face was too bright for them.
No, that's not true.
Okay.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The revelation that I got, also through one of my mentors.
Okay.
He said, when he came down from the mountain, when he just came out of the presence of God, they could not look into his face. He was so bright. But the veil had a different purpose.
Okay.
Because as he came down, and time was passing, the glory was always
going
fading.
Down.
And he never wanted to see the people that the glory was fading.
Amen.
That is why he put the veil over his face. It's here. It's here. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For what if what is passing away was glorious? The glory on Moses' face was passing away. But then it says, that which remains is much more glorious. Jesus Christ's glory is eternal.
That's right. Amen.
When you carry Jesus,
you shine.
As long as you carry him, your glory doesn't change. It's when you
turn
stop
away.
Carrying him that your glory goes down, your face goes down.